Well, and it so happened that I was on the next order list to go to officers training school. So the brigadier called me into his office at brigade headquarters and said that that was a little bit of poor judgment and maybe I should just wait at least one round and before I went to officers training school till I learned not to go back and write newspaper stories. Actually, I hadn't written them. My brother wrote it, but I guess you weren't supposed to talk to anybody, maybe. Big secret. About the sewage system is a big secret.
Well, the Germans may have used that.
So anyway, sure enough, they made me wait, and then I did go on the next round of officer recruits. Went to Brockville. Brockville, Ontario was rather a significant place for me, actually. My father had been born in Brockville, Ontario, and it's on the banks of the St. Lawrence River. And I had two uncles who were drowned while skating on the fringes of the St. Lawrence River years earlier. And I had some relatives on my dad's side living in Brockville, very, very pretty location. It's actually north of evidently Rochester. New York is where the headquarters of Eastman Kodak. Anyway, the St. Lawrence River is a very large river, very, at least a mile wide at that point. And steamships actually travel the Great Lakes and up and down the St. Lawrence, of course. I was there at least, I think, about 90 days. And I think that's where the expression, the 90-day wonders, came from. It was a real tough course. They were real hard on us. The first 2 months, it was just basic training of and grind and sort of wearing you down. They took off all of your rank, even if you were an officer, a reserve officer, when you came to this camp. Everybody wore a white patch over their epaulettes, and you were called officer cadet. You were called cadet. So I became, instead of Sergeant Miller, I became Cadet Miller. And I was even, my roommate was a captain in the reserves, but he was also cadet. They covered up his rank, and he wore a white piece of adhesive over them. Yeah. And so we were all reduced to the same.
How many guys do you think washed out, just on average?
There was quite a few washed out. It was always very sad to see fellows washed out, but they tried to pick on you and actually sort of abuse you to see if you could take it.
Yeah.
Their theory was that how can you give orders if you don't learn to take them?
What was your attitude?
Well, it was hard not to fight back, especially at that time. I had been in the service, remember, for at least a year or more at that time, and I didn't appreciate abuse from anyone, and yet we were getting that. They really rolled us pretty hard. The trick was, we soon learned, was to keep your mouth shut and not to react to it. If you did react to it, then they would pick on you. But I tried to do, you know, everything as well as I could and keep out of trouble that way. But boy, if you made any mistakes, they sure rode you hard. The last month of that 90 days, they sent you into the division of the army that you were going to, and I was in the artillery, so then I went to the field artillery branch. And that was kind of fun. You would go roaring along in the training areas with tractors, they call them. They were actually armored cars pulling the 25-pounder field gun was our standard Army field piece. I don't know what the American equivalent is now to it. I would have known at that time, but I've forgotten. Anyway, it was a British type of a gun and a good field gun. And you would be given... There's a lot of mathematics involved in it, in trigonometry, and you would... race to a certain map reference, unload your guns, get them set up, and then fire at a target. The object was, of course, to hit the target. It was all done very quickly. And if your math was bad and you made any errors, that was subject for being washed out, too. They didn't want any poor mathematicians firing your guns. So anyway, that was soon over, and then I got immediately sent overseas to England as a replacement officer. Well, when I was in England... I was there for at least maybe 8, 9, 10 months, and the war was in a funny stage at that time. They called it sometimes called it the phony war. It had quieted down, and the armies were building up. They hadn't re-entered Europe yet, and there was fighting in North Africa and a few places like that. But it was very reasonably quiet except for a lot of air activity and so forth. And as a result, there were very few casualties amongst Army officers, especially artillery Army officers. So they weren't making many calls for replacement officers. So one day when I was out on the Downs of England, they call it, overlooking the coast of France, going through the training routines for the thousandth time, an officer from the division headquarters came out to the... They were all officers at this course. And by this time, I had taken, by the way, every artillery training course that they had. There were no more. I'd been trained on everything from anti-tank guns to artillery, of course, to medium howitzers, those big ones, to railway coast guns, anti-aircraft guns. There was nothing left. And we had just gone the circle and start all over again.